You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, November 1st, 2017.
We're talking about kids who are being sex trafficked for drug money for the parents. We have babies who are absolutely damaged for life physically by being thrown up against the wall and with broken bones and all by boyfriends.
The opioid epidemic sweeping the state is causing more children to become wards of the state. WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester reports that in the last 5 years, the number of children in need of state services has doubled. Chester speaks with representatives from Family Solutions and the Monroe County Court-Appointed Special Advocates Programs. The story is coming up in WFHB's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Bitcoin mining isn't something that most people do in their spare time. That is, unless you stream video from the entertainment network Showtime or download media from the Pirate Bay. How a legal loophole allows sites you visit to hijack your computing power to mine Bitcoins. That's coming up on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Fatal Attraction and 101 Dalmatians actress Glenn Close has donated her costume collection to Indiana University's School of Art, Architecture, and Design. The six-time nominated Academy Award actress was presented with a philanthropy award from IU on Saturday.
Indiana is now a sister state with Karnataka, India. A delegation from Indiana, including Governor Eric Holcomb, signed an agreement in Bangalore on Monday. The agreement declares a memorandum of understanding, signaling the intention to improve business relationships between Indiana and the southern Indian state. Cited in a press release from the governor's office were three Indian technology companies that reportedly plan to move to Indiana in 2020. Indiana is also sister states with Japan's Tochigi Prefecture and China's Zhejiang Province.
Vendors at the Bloomington Farmers Market will now have access to water year-round. The Board of Public Works approved the installation of a water line and a frost-free fire hydrant for the Farmers Market. The market is held Saturday mornings in the City Hall parking lot. Public Works Data Manager Nate Nickel says that food vendors in particular will benefit.
Currently, all the water lines serving the farmers market have to be shut down much early, mid-October, so you know, earlier this month to avoid freezing. And the farmers market runs later into the year, so this project really is great because it installs a new water service and a below-grade frost-free hydrant that can serve the farmers market's needs year-round.
Nickel said an existing hydrant in the circle of the parking lot will also be repaired. Snedeker Construction will perform the work.
An unexpectedly high number of trash and recycling bin exchanges is prompting the city to temporarily change its bin fees.
Over 1,500 households requested new cart sizes, and I checked this morning, and we're really close to about 1,700 now. So we've had quite a few. It's a lot more cart changes than we originally anticipated. And as you can imagine, you know, changing this many carts is difficult during the first billing cycle. And that's due to, you know, cart supply and just the time constraints involved in the process.
That is Nate Nickel. He says during the transition to the new automated sanitation system, some residents didn't receive the bin size they requested. Other customers didn't get their trash or recycling picked up at all. Nickel says due to the mix-up, residents will be charged a flat rate of $6.22 on their November bill. The flat rate is equal to the charge for the smallest size bin available. Nichols says he anticipates the exchanges will be completed by the December billing cycle.
The goal of the Public Works Department and Sanitation Division is to complete the solid waste card exchanges the first few weeks of November and then complete the recycling card exchanges in the first few weeks of December.
Nichols says the department will then return to its original rates for the three cart sizes.
So we had the 96-gallon for $16.60 per month, 64-gallon, which was $10.52 per month, and 35 gallons, which was $6.22 per month.
Public Works Director Adam Wason clarifies what the one-time-only flat charge will mean for multifamily residential units.
So for a single-family residence, just an address with a single-family house on it, you know, they're going to get billed $6.22 for their sanitation services for first month. We do service properties that are up to four units. So if there's a four-unit address, they would be billed four charges for that $6.22. So just to be clear with that, for all the multifamily, however many units are on that lot is how many service charges they'll receive at the $6.22 rate.
Wason says charging everyone a smaller flat rate is meant to promote goodwill during the transition to the new sanitation system.
This is literally the largest essential city service change we've made in decades here at the city. Overall, still fully believe that it's being done for the right reasons and that it's going to be a successful long-term program for the city.
The Board of Public Works approved the temporary rate change.
Southbound traffic on Highway 37 is now restricted to a single lane. The lane change begins south of Martinsville. Currently, northbound traffic is also restricted to a single lane along the future Interstate 69 corridor. Traffic restrictions are expected to remain in place until November 19th. The Indiana Department of Transportation stated in an October 25th press release that work on the interstate project is increasing. NDOT officials have stated that they are hoping to pave several sections of the road before winter weather delays construction efforts.
The City of Bloomington announced it's in the planning stages with Indiana University to develop a bike share project. The proposed bike share would see bicycle rental stations set up in the city with customers paying through a cell phone application to rent a bike. The city is proposing to begin with 150 bicycles involved in the program with a goal of increasing the number of bikes to several thousand. The proposed plan is expected to begin being implemented next year. A public meeting in the Bloomington City Council chambers is scheduled for Monday, November 6th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. to discuss the proposal. More information available at bloomington.in.gov/bikeshareproject.
Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service available at smithvillesecurity.com.
The national opioid epidemic, which President Donald Trump declared a public emergency last week, is changing the face of child abuse and neglect in Indiana. As WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester reports, experts and advocates say the overwhelming number of cases and the severity of the cases is taking a toll on state resources.
In the past 5 years, the number of abused and neglected children in Indiana has doubled, from 13,000 to almost 24,000 cases annually. Those numbers only take into account formal petitions for children in need of state legal services. The actual count of abused children may be far higher.
As of October of this year, we had over 600, and we still have another 3 months to go for the year.
That's Kristen Bechet, the executive director of the Monroe County CASA, or Court-Appointed Special Advocates. CASA works with children going through the legal system by providing legal support in addition to the Indiana Department of Child Services. The DCS is reporting an increase of over 10,000 child neglect and abuse cases since 2012. The CASA program itself is also seeing an uptick in the number of cases they're asked to represent.
We pretty much doubled. In 2016, we doubled what we did in 2015, and then again this year, we're almost doubling it again. and there's no sign that it's slowing down at all. We still have an ongoing wait list of over 100 kids waiting for a CASA. So it just seems that no matter how many more we get, we still need more. We're trying to be creative in how we serve them, do a lot more heavy monitoring of the cases before we actually can assign a CASA, to be able to triage the most severe cases and get a volunteer on those cases as soon as we possibly can. Almost all our kids, I would say about 97% of our kids, eventually do get served by a volunteer. But sometimes they're on a wait list for as much as 6 months before they do get one.
Spending to provide for the at-risk children is also increasing. In 2012, when child neglect rates were at their lowest point in the last 7 years, the Department of Child Services spent $758 million. In 2017, that number climbed to $1.2 billion. To make sure DCS workers have time for each child's case, former Governor Mike Pence created a policy where one caseworker is not allowed to monitor more than 17 children at a time. While this law was made with the best of intentions, it's caused issues with the recent increase in individual cases. Despite the policy, caseworkers often end up with more than 17 cases. The more children a child welfare worker has, the less time and attention they're able to give to each individual case.
When DCS, when their caseloads increase, it seems like our caseloads increase, because the more families that are out there that need to be serviced, then there's more referrals that are made to our agency or agencies like ours to provide those services.
That's Emily Hughes, the Director of Family Solutions in Bloomington. Family Solutions works to help families who have been broken apart by providing legal services and working closely with DCS. According to Hughes, many of the cases they get at Family Solutions oftentimes involve substance abuse by the children's guardians.
From about 2014 to now, we've increased probably our employment probably by at least 25%, if not more. I hover right around 50 employees, and that's for various programs through the state, but majority here in Monroe County. A lot of what we see are substance abuse issues, and so therefore we set up visitation so that family can have visitations with their children.
To compensate for the additional children, the Department of Child Services has added about 1,000 family case managers to its ranks in the last several years. About a quarter of new employees typically do not make it a full year before leaving. The state government has also started diverting funds away from other government agencies in order to afford the increasing demands posed by the situation. In addition, the Indiana Office of Management and Budget has started streamlining services by cutting out DCS departments that are inefficient or receive little use. Starting with the budgets is just the beginning, however. According to Kristen Bechet, the state needs to change how they even approach what is considered child abuse.
Indiana has the highest threshold to reach to be considered a child abuser. So if you're a child abuser and you want to abuse your kids, come to Indiana, because you're not going to get in trouble nearly as much as any other state in the union. I would love to see that the child abuse laws and statute changed.
Bechet contributes the recent rise in neglected children cases to the opioid epidemic. The neglected child case rate began to rise in 2013, very closely paralleling the rising rate of opioid-related deaths. Both Bechet and Hughes agree that many of the cases they handle often involve substance abuse.
What people need to understand is that these families need help, and the opioid, no matter how you feel about adults who are using drugs and become addicted and all, I know there's a wide variety of people and how they feel about that issue, they've got to consider that this is affecting the children, and so much more so than they would ever think. We had a weekend here this past summer, a couple months ago, where there was a huge amount of overdoses, I think like 10 or 11 in one weekend. We had 7 kids from that enter in our system just because of those parents. Where there's an overdose, where there's an issue, there are kids there too. And so we've got to protect them. They're innocents in this, and they have nowhere to go. And so people need to open up their hearts. If they can't become foster parents, they can't become CASA volunteers, they need to financially support those agencies that do help these kids. And start activating and talk to your legislators about changing the law and opening more clinics for the people who are needing help. It's sorely needed in Indiana, and things are moving very, very slowly.
Bechet says that since the outbreak of the opioid epidemic, the type of cases CASA deals with have changed significantly.
Most of the cases that we see aren't just common issues of neglect, that there's not enough food in the house, or poor hygiene or whatever, not enough room in the house or filthy houses. Those used to be cases we would get. But anymore, we're talking about kids who are being sex trafficked for drug money for the parents. We have babies who are absolutely damaged for life physically by being thrown up against the wall and with broken bones and all by boyfriends. There's a lot of sexual abuse going on. There's a lot of neglect. There's a lot of parents who aren't there, and so they're either physically not there or mentally not there because they're passed out with their drugs, that the kids are parenting themselves. A lot of them are exposed to other bad people who come into the home and get abused that way. So some of it is not the actual abuse perpetrated by the parent, but the parent isn't protecting them from the outside world coming into their home.
If the flow of children through the legal system cannot be stemmed, it could have dire consequences.
If we don't change things and change them quickly and drastically, we're going to have a lot more deaths of children. And I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. What's happening is that because of this epidemic, I've had to hire more staff. The courts had to add another judge and court to the system. DCS 2 years ago had 20 caseworkers. Now they have 60. We are trying to keep up with it as much as we can, and we just can't. And foster homes, there aren't any. Children are being moved around and placed for a week here, 2 weeks there, because there's just nowhere to put them, and they're put places temporarily. Or they're placed back in the homes before they're really safe, only because there's nowhere else to put them. What's going to happen is that we're going to have cases not being opened because the system is too overworked, or we'll have kids returned home too often to homes that aren't safe still. And it will increase the deaths due to abuse in Indiana, I guarantee you.
DCS did not respond to requests for an interview. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
More of WFHB's coverage on the state's ongoing opioid epidemic and the status of children in Indiana is available through our website at wfhb.org.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
There's some good news, but first, here's a weirdie. Now, we mentioned Bitcoin and other so-called cryptocurrencies a little while back. You know, I still don't really understand where Bitcoins come from. The official word is that people can mine Bitcoins by using their computer to solve difficult mathematical problems. But I simply don't get how that creates value or translates itself into money. Still, lots of people do get it and let their computers be hooked onto a botnet to do this mining and get paid. Are you one of those? Are you sure about that? Recently, Britain's Manchester Guardian reported that two popular websites, Showtime and The Pirate Bay, were using their customers' computers to mine bitcoins. Yep, when you stream something on Showtime or search around on the Pirate Bay, they send you some computer code you don't know anything about and make your computer work on it. They're using your computing power and your electricity. They get bitcoins and you get nothing. This is not good, but it's not illegal. And there's no telling how many other web companies are jumping on this gravy train. And now, the good news. Scammers are getting busted. And if you think it's one or two lowlifes swilling coffee and huddling over computer screens in their apartment, think again. A few years ago, the FTC shut down fake tech support operations here in the U.S., which involved hundreds of people and raked in at least $120 million. Last year, the cops in India arrested 70 people working in 9 call centers who were calling Americans, pretending to be IRS agents, and extorting cash payments by threats. These scammers took in over $50 million before they got handcuffed and marched off to jail. This year, there are more takedowns. Last August, authorities busted a massive 11-story call center in Cambodia, which was targeting mainland Chinese citizens and raking in millions. We concentrate on scams here in America, but don't forget there are victims all over the world. Last month, the cops in Dubai busted 5 Pakistanis who were running a "You've won a prize, give me your bank account number so I can deposit your winnings" swindle, ripping off citizens there. Also last month, in Burlington, Vermont, the cops finally busted a sweet little con that had been going for 8 years and hooked over $400,000. Victims fell for a story that they could get a big, fancy TV incredibly cheap if they came to a certain loading dock after hours with cash in hand. They were met by a guy who took the cash, thanked them, went inside to bring out the TV, and skedaddled out the front. That one must go way, way back. There are caves with more than one entrance. But it still works, and you still can't cheat an honest man. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis, Jonah Chester, and Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Jonah Chester.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@WFHB.org. And stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@WFHB.org.